Let's open with hymn number 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and I heard the voice of a great multitude saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who in mercy hast established the Christian home among us, we beseech thee so to rule and direct our hearts that we may be good examples to children and servants, and not offend them by word or deed, but faithfully teach them to love thy church and hear thy blessed word. Give them thy spirit and grace that this seed may bring forth good fruit, so that our home life may conduce to thy glory, honor, and praise, to our own improvement and welfare, and give offense to no one, through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday after Epiphany is found in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 1st through the 7th verse. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 12th chapter of Romans, the 1st through the 5th verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Here ends the epistle lesson. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. The mountains shall bring peace to thy people, and the hills righteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Hallelujah. Lesson for this day is found in the 2nd chapter of Luke, the 41st through the 52nd verse. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 133. unto you, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the second chapter of Luke, the 41st through the 52nd verse. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was so that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, many, if not most, parents have had the frightening experience of suddenly realizing that one of their children is not with them. Perhaps they wandered off at the county fair, or in the bustle of corralling the children in and out of the bathroom at a potty stop, one got left behind. Sometimes the parents are at fault, but more often than not, the children run off or change direction at the precise moment when no one is looking. Panic ensues, and eventually relief, as the lost child is located, hugged fiercely, and then scolded for scaring his parents half to death. As we see in our lesson, this is hardly a modern phenomenon. Children are often thoughtless and need constant guidance. And yet one would expect that a 12-year-old child, in some societies old enough to be counted as an adult, would have had enough respect for his parents to make sure that they knew where he is. And surely one would expect that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, would be the last to so frighten his mother and stepfather. So what is the meaning of what we see here? One could well imagine if this were any other boy, but surely not Jesus. For how could he be without sin if he would deal so with Mary and Joseph? Well, like all of the things which the Scriptures record of the life and works of Jesus, we must seek the answer in the Word of God and remember the admonition of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Before we even begin, we know already that what Jesus did here as a 12-year-old boy, he did for our benefit, or else it would not have been recorded in the Scriptures. One could easily draw the conclusion, knowing nothing but the visible facts, that Jesus was being disobedient and disrespectful. Any other child in a circumstance would be without excuse. And yet, for this to be true of Jesus, he would have to disobey not only Mary, but also his father. And as any good child, Jesus was subservient to his father in all things. And while Mary and Joseph might not have known it at the time, Jesus was obeying his father in heaven. At the age of 12, according to the law of Moses, Jesus was now required to do what every adult male must do, to attend the Passover every year. Likewise, he was personally responsible for preparing himself for the great work which his father would have him do. And at the age of 12, Jesus had not yet finished learning and growing in wisdom. And as we learn throughout his ministry, whether during his temptation in the wilderness, his disputes with the scribes and Pharisees, or his instruction of his apostles, Jesus continually used and applied the Word of God. Therefore, at the age of 12, he sought out the Word of God in the temple during the time of year when the most learned and devoted of the rabbis, the teachers of the law, would all be gathered together in one place to discuss the things which God had revealed in the law and the prophets. Where else would Jesus be when he had such a momentous work ahead of him? He needed to prepare himself. But in addition to his own need and responsibility, Jesus also remained behind in the temple to bear witness. First to the doctors of the law, to Mary and Joseph, and also to us. To the doctors of the law, Jesus demonstrated his mastery of the Word of God already at 12 years old. He listened to these learned men. He asked them questions. They asked him questions. And at his questions and answers, the teachers were astonished. A child of 12 had exceeded their own understanding of the Word of God when they had spent their whole lives learning it. If at 12 Jesus had bested the teachers of Israel, what kind of man would he be when he was of full age? And for all of this, Jesus still did not reveal to them his nature and purpose. His hour had not yet come. To the teachers, he remained, in their minds at least, still a 12-year-old boy. To Mary and Joseph, Jesus witnessed that his submission to their authority was willing. It was not the kind of submission that any good child does when they obey their parents, but it was that of a superior, willingly submitting and placing himself under the authority of an inferior. In this particular case, which was an unusual exception to the norm, Jesus needed to remind Mary and Joseph who he was and who his father was. Mary and Joseph, being sinners, lost sight of the nature of the boy under their care. For the angels and the miracles of his birth were now a decade in the past. And so you see how it is. When we do not have the constant reminders of the power and the nature of Jesus right under our noses, we also take him for granted. In the bustle of our busy lives, we pay a little heed to the grace in which we live. That he has paid for our sins at the greatest cost. And that forgiveness of sins is ours, not only when we are painfully aware of our sins, but when we have all but forgotten them because of the cares and concerns of this life. The extraordinary goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ becomes buried under countless cares. And therefore, at times, Jesus needs to throw us for a loop so that we practically have to stumble over his nature and thereby can confess our sins and remember his boundless grace. That Mary and Joseph had forgotten is evident in the words of Mary when she said, "Your father and I have sought you anxiously." Jesus responded, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Of course, they were referring to two different fathers. It was almost as if Jesus was saying, with all due respect, "Mother, did you forget who my father is and what it is that I must do?" And yet the scriptures say that Mary and Joseph did not understand his words. They remembered their obligation to care for Jesus, but they forgot that he owed obedience to his Father above all things. The Father in heaven was not like some human father who had abandoned his son to the care of others. He was still present with Jesus, and Jesus owed him obedience in all things. Does that mean that Jesus heard the voice of his Father speak like he heard the voice of Mary and Joseph? At times, perhaps. Perhaps he did not hear it in this way until his baptism. But whatever the case, there is no doubt that Jesus knew his Father's will, for he learned it in the Scriptures. And therefore it was no disrespect that Jesus showed to Mary and Joseph by remaining behind in Jerusalem and abiding in the temple. Rather, it was obedience to his Father in heaven. And the boy Jesus in the temple also bears witness to us. He shows us his divine nature, hidden in the body of a 12-year-old boy. Even at a young age, the perfection of Jesus shines for all who care to look. In the brightness of that light, we are humbled. At 12, Jesus put aged teachers of the law to shame. And he was not born with this mastery. He acquired it. He read and heard and learned. He diligently applied himself to the study of the Scriptures. And in so doing, he shows us how poor we are at hearing the Word of God. How small our understanding of it is, even though we may be several times the age of 12. For Jesus, to hear and keep the Word of God was his food and drink. But we give it little thought. And too often we have to be prodded into hearing and applying it. For Jesus, there was no better place to be than in the house of the Father. Yet how little we care to dwell there, that we might hear and study the Word of God and humble ourselves under its admonitions and gratefully receive the grace which God has placed in his Word and sacraments. Even if we hardly miss a worship service, can any of us honestly say that our hearts burn with desire to be worshiping the Lord with our fellow saints, to be confessing our sins, to be receiving the wonderful gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation which are in Jesus Christ? No, our hearts are surely not consumed with a zeal for the house of the Lord. How wretchedly we fail when our regard for the Word of God is placed beside the 12-year-old Jesus. Perhaps we think we've learned enough. Perhaps we believe that we've done enough in training our children in the Christian faith. Whatever the excuses, we are drawn back to that 12-year-old boy in the temple whom the Scriptures reveal heard and learned and increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Think about what that means for you. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, learned and grew more wise. He pleased God more and more. Even a perfect man, yes, even God in human flesh, had room to grow and learn and do the works of his Father. And here we are, laden with our sins, tempted at every turn, and yielding to temptation, falling into sin over and over again, forgetting our baptism, pushing the Word of God out of our minds so that we can do those things that God hates. Surely we must think ourselves greater than Jesus, that we need the Word of God less than he does. Therefore, let us consider why Jesus learned and how he grew in the favor of God. The Bible does not tell us exactly what Jesus knew and when he knew it. But it clearly tells us that his understanding and wisdom continued to increase. Isaiah says of the virgin-born son, "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." Food and drink is often the symbol of God's Word in the Scriptures. In consuming the Word, Jesus learned, as any child does, what was evil and what was good. And being without sin, he always chose the good. This learning never ended his whole life. Hebrews says, in the day of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications and vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. From his youth, all the way to what Hebrews speaks of, the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus applied the Word of God to himself, especially in the suffering which he endured for our redemption. And all that he did perfectly, so that there was nothing lacking for us. To us this seems astounding, because the Son of God is himself the source of the Scriptures. They are his own thoughts. That Jesus should have to learn and grow and apply the Word of God just as any man must boggles the mind. How could Jesus not know what he knows? Why would he have to learn it? How could he not be as fully wise as he is? For he is infinite wisdom. Here is the wondrous mystery of the Word made flesh. He was like us in every way, except that he was without sin. Therefore, instead of choosing to know everything that he knew, he chose instead to learn it as we must learn it, to grow as we must grow, that in all points he would be tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In a very literal sense, he learned from the Scriptures about himself. And even if the Father in heaven had never spoken to Jesus with an audible voice, yet from the Scriptures, Jesus would and surely did learn that he was the Son of God and that his destiny was to be crucified and on the third day to rise again. For so the prophets had declared. And because he was without sin, he learned these things readily and he applied them with diligence. We are the benefactors. Jesus took no shortcuts. He became true man so that he could take our place fully and completely in every possible way from his learning, his obedience, his suffering for our sins, and his sacrificial death. Dear friends, what a treasure the Word of God is. When we read it and hear it and diligently apply it, we are joined to our Lord Jesus Christ. As he learned all that he needed to win our salvation, so too we learn all that we need to believe that Jesus is our Redeemer and has done all things well and has fully and completely accomplished all that the Father required that we might be saved. And so in believing his word, we have life and the forgiveness of sins and salvation. Therefore, let us diligently and gladly hear and learn the word of our Father in heaven, that we might know Jesus more and more, and increase in every good work. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We give thee what but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. A trust, O Lord, from thee. May we thy bounties thus as stewards true receive, and gladly as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, Bruce and Julie, Miriam and Leah King, as members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, desire to become members of this congregation in recognition that Augustana Lutheran Church is a faithful congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Being fully convinced that in this fellowship, the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and the sacraments are administered according to their institution by Christ. I now ask, therefore, you, in the presence of God and of this congregation, do you acknowledge and confess the teachings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church to be the true and unaltered teachings of the Word of God? If so, say, I do. Do you therefore recognize this congregation to be a congregation indeed of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, which holds faithfully to the Word of God entrusted to it by the apostles and prophets? If so, answer, I do. Do you intend to continue in the confession of this church, to make diligent use of the means of grace, and to lead a sober, righteous, and godly life, even unto the end? Then answer, I do so intend with the help of God.
I do so intend with the help of God.
Upon this, your promise, I, in the name of this congregation, give to you the right hand of fellowship and love. Acknowledging you as members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and inviting you to join us in the reception of the Lord's Supper and to participate in all the other blessings of salvation which God has given to His Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, enabling you to continue to receive the truth entrusted to you in your baptism and renewed in your confirmation vows, strengthening your faith, that you might do the will of God from the heart and be faithful unto Christ until His kingdom and glory come. Amen. We continue with the prayer. We bless Thee, O God, for the revelation of Thy will and wisdom in the life of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, even in the days of His youth. By Thy Holy Spirit, implant in us more and more the mind of Christ. Make us glad to go into Thy house. Open our ears that we may gratefully hear and attend to the teaching and preaching of Thy Word. In all things instill in our hearts, O Lord, a continuing desire to be about Thy business, to increase in wisdom, and to grow in favor with Thee and our fellow men. By Thy mercy, O God, lead our children and young people, as Thou didst direct and lead Thy Holy Son, Jesus. Give us grace as parents and elders, to show Thy will and way to the youth by faithful worship and love for Thy word and gracious gospel. In all our doings, Heavenly Father, enable us as young and old alike to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Thee. Deliver us from conformity to this world, and transform us by the renewing of our minds, that we may show forth Thy good and acceptable and perfect will in our every thought, word, and deed. Hear our prayer, O God, for the fellowship of Thy church. Bless our worship and prosper our witness of Christ and His power to save. Grant Thy strength and blessing to all pastors and missionaries, that they may preach Thy word with diligence and bring the light of the gospel to every land and nation. Send Thy Holy Spirit into Thy church to dispel our weariness, cast out our fear of men, remove our indifference, and forsake the love of this world. Fill us with zeal for the lost, that we may be obedient to our Lord's commandment to proclaim the gospel to every creature. Lord, Thou art the mighty God who spake and it was done, and who orderest still the course of this world. Help us to find strength in the greatness of Thy might by which Thou hast redeemed us through Thy Son, Jesus Christ. But grant also that we may look upon Thy Son as true man also, and find in Him our friend and constant companion, the human face of Thine eternal majesty and grace. In thy mercy, Lord, show thy strength and goodness to the sick and the afflicted. Give them grace to cast their cares upon thee in the knowledge and assurance of thy care for them. Help, heal, establish, and strengthen them, and in all things enable them and all of us to rejoice in thy Holy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, whom we worship and adore with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn 290. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fountain source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 50. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.